It's been a difficult year for many of you, and I've had fun looking at the memes as we think about passing from 2021 to 2022. I don't know if you've seen some of these. Look at that. These guys are nervous about what's behind that door. Look at the next one. I get the next one. I always have to do a Barney Fife one here. I get the next one. And then another one going around. There it is. You know, it's been a wilderness experience for many of us. And when you look at our nation, obviously there's not a lot to really be real positive about when you look at the inflation and 40-year highs are coming on us, and the political gridlock, and then, oh yeah, COVID. I saw where December 30th of last year we had, last year, 230,000 cases. December 30th of this year, at like 500 and something, more than twice the number. Now, the deaths are lower, but I mean, this is with, I think, 61% of the population being vaccinated. And you would just assume that as vaccinations go up, the COVID numbers would go down. And I'm not a scientist. A lot of the people claiming to be scientists aren't scientists either. You know, you just wonder where all of this ends. And when you look at the year ahead, you wonder what's ahead. And not even in a national sense, but many of you are there in a personal sense. You're sort of maybe in a limbo. There's where you've been, there's where you are, and there's where you'd like to be, and it feels like you're sort of stuck in the middle lane, and there's two tractor trailers on both sides of you, and you can't get out of where you are, and you don't want to go back, but then you want to go forward, and you can't move ahead. And I want to talk to you today about entering into the promised land, or into the place that God would have us, and maybe getting out of the wilderness that we feel like we're in. Again, we're standing at the precipice of a new year, and it's a good time to talk about what's been behind, but it's also a good time to try to encourage ourselves to face the future and to believe that there's more that God has for us than this. And so I want to talk to you from the life of a man named Joshua. And I've preached out of this passage several times. It's a different sermon today, but act like you hadn't heard this one. Joshua is in the Old Testament. And he's between the age of 60 and 80 at the time of this passage. The first 20 to 40 years of his life, he was a slave in Egypt. No, how, it might say, but I'm not sure how old he was when they left slavery. And then he spent 40 years in the wilderness, not because of him, but because of everybody else. And so here he is, he's we would call him an AARP member in our culture. But he's standing at the boundary of the promised land that God had long promised to them, and now possession is at hand. And this is the word that comes to him in verse 1 of Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. And by the way, I just want to mention something there. a pastor made a profound point of that. He was his father's associate pastor. And he'd been that way for 30 years. And he said, people kept coming up to me saying, do you feel the burden to succeed your dad? We want you to be the pastor. And he said, I would say, no, 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 no. And he said, but then when dad died, I felt the burden. And he said, it was that verse that clarified that to me, that God didn't call two pastors at that church. When one pastor was finished, he called the next one. And I don't know if that's a word for you, not as a pastor, but God will call you when he's ready. God doesn't speak to everybody when we think that we need to hear from him, but he'll speak to you when you're ready. After the death of Moses, now the people need a leader. The servant of the Lord came to Joshua, or the Lord spoke to Joshua. In verse 2, he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, rise, go over this Jordan, and you and all these this people to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every day, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong, very courageous, that you may observe and to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. A third time here. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So here's Joshua. Not any of those other two guys. Here's Joshua. And he's been in the wilderness. He's been with these people. Now he's facing this turning point where he's basically going into or at the precipice of the promised land. And I hope for many of us, that's an analogy of 2021 facing 2022. And so how does he get into the promised land? What are the keys for him getting out of that wilderness into the promised land? And the first key is to be obedient and faithful to God. So first, if you want to get out of the wilderness, you got to be obedient and faithful to God. See, why were they in the wilderness to begin with? Well, there's a couple of reasons. There's a first reason and then there's a second reason. The reason they went in is not the reason they stayed. Here's the reason they went in. They went in because God led them into the wilderness. Look at verse Deuteronomy chapter, I think, 3 here. That's not it, my brother. In the Bible, there it is, Exodus. And I've said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of all the ites, including the cellulites, to a land flowing with milk and honey. And then they will heed your voice. That's not it. Here's what the Bible says somewhere in there. The Bible says originally, when the children of Israel left Egypt, that God took them by the wilderness way, because he said, if I take them directly into the land, they will run when they see a military force come after them. So originally, they ended up in the wilderness because, again, it's only a 200-mile journey from Egypt to where they settled, less than a month's walk, even with all of the stuff that they had. Originally, they were going to be in the wilderness for months and maybe even years, because God said they need the wilderness experience because they're slaves, and the first sign of somebody coming after them with swords and spears, they're going to run away. So originally, they weren't ready to go into the promised land. So the Lord said, I'm going to bring you into the wilderness, and I'm going to prepare you to go into the promised land in the wilderness. Now that's why they originally went in. And that's why a lot of us enter into. It's not a rare thing for God to bring us into a wilderness experience. Elisha spent a lot of time in the wilderness. Jesus was taken into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days. Even before Moses led the children of Israel out, he was on the backside of the desert for 40 years. It isn't an uncommon thing for God to bring us into a dry place, into a place of shaping, into a place of forming. And the reason is because we're not ready to yet enter into the full promises he has given to us. I got married when I was 28 years old. I'll tell you why I was 28. My in-laws were praying that God would have a Christian man for their daughters, and both of them married preachers, although I don't know that that means anything. But they were praying that God would have them Christian men. And my wife was praying that the Lord would give her a Christian man. And so we knew each other as teenagers, but when I was 20, I was a jerk. I wasn't ready when I was 20. And I wasn't ready when I was 25 because I didn't have steady employment. I was in college. I wasn't ready to enter in to the promised land of matrimonial bliss with Big Red and the Three Little Reds and Sam until I had been shaped and prepared to be a good husband. See, some of you are praying, Lord, send me a Christian mate. And he's not going to do that because he cares about his children and you're not ready for a Christian mate. I mean, if somebody wanted, and we're assuming this happens in a few years, if somebody wanted me to fix them up with my daughter, but they were a jerk and partially employed, I wouldn't fix them up. I care about my daughter. So you're sitting around praying, Lord, send me a Christian woman. Send her to me. Well, get a job and quit being an idiot. Get saved. I'll see you here every Sunday. I mean, we oftentimes are in these wilderness experiences because God is shaping us. He's molding us. He's trying to do something in our life. He's just not going to take us into the promised land yet. I've shared this illustration before many times. I've shared it more than he shared it. I act like you hadn't heard it. I had a preacher friend named Kenny Greenway who, before he became a pastor, sort of blew up his life. He was into drugs big and owed the wrong people about $500,000, and he ended up in a homeless shelter. And he came to know the Lord in this homeless shelter because the woman who ran it was a real battle axe, and she would make the people in the homeless shelter read a chapter of the Bible and then explain it to her before they got fed. So it's like, well, no, you didn't explain Romans chapter 8 adequately. Go do it again and maybe you get to eat next time. And so she made them read the Bible and he got saved in the homeless shelter. And he said, after I got saved, he said, when I had to run away from all the mess I was in, I went one way, my wife went the other way. And so when I got saved, the first thing I wanted to do was find my wife. And he said, it seemed like in my praying, the Lord said to me, Kenny, neither one of you could stay saved together. I had to separate you to get you saved. I got you saved. Now let me work on her. And when I get it all put together, I'll bring you back together. When I get her fixed and when I get you fixed, I'll bring you back together. And he said, 2 years later, I was sitting in a diner and reading the paper, and I looked up, and there she was. And she came over, and she began to talk, and she said, Kenny, an amazing thing has happened. I found Jesus. He said, that's an amazing thing. I found Jesus. And he said, we began to date. We put our marriage together, and they'd been in ministry for like over 20 years together, living in a motorhome. You know they love each other if you can live 20 years in a motorhome together. What was that? That was a wilderness experience that God led them into. Sometimes God will lead you into the wilderness. David wasn't ready to be king when he was 20. He was ready when he was in his 30s. Joseph wasn't ready to rule when he was 20. He was ready to rule when he was 30. And so they were led into these wilderness experiences to shape them. And that's something that may be happening in your life. You say, why am I in the wilderness? Why is my life happening the way it's happening? Well, Jesus is trying to get us to the place where we pursue the kingdom of God. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added unto you. The reason you haven't entered the promised land and had other things added unto you is that you're still not seeking the kingdom of God. You're going to stay in the wilderness until you do. God wants you to begin to care about the things He cares about. He would like for you to care about His family as much as you want Him to care about your family. Trying to shape you. And again, God brings us into these shaping periods. Yet, although Israel was taken into the wilderness by God for a season, it was not intended to be 40 years. That was on them. They originally went in because God led them in. But the length of time they stayed was on them. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 1. And the Lord heard the sound of your words and was angry and took an oath saying, surely not one of these men of this evil generation shall see that good land of which I swore to give to your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who shall see it, and to him and his children I am giving the land on which he walked because he wholly followed the Lord. This is a scripture that precedes or postcedes, I think that's a word, but follows some verses where the 12 spies were sent out to spy out the promised land. They're ready to conquer it. And God said, I'm giving you the land. That's a done deal. You just need to send some spies to figure out which part you're going to take first to develop a plan. But I've given you the land. I'm giving it to you. And 12 go and 10 come back and say, we can't take the land. In other words, the Lord's a liar. He said we could take it, but we can't take this land. The Lord has lied to us. Joshua and Caleb say, no, we can take the land. The Lord said we can take it. We're going to take the land. And out of that, God gets so frustrated by their lack of faith and their lack of obedience that he says, all right, none of you are getting into the land. Not a one of you that came out of Egypt is going to get into the land. You're all going to die in the wilderness. Your kids will go in and Joshua will lead them. See, that was on them. God took them into the wilderness to prepare them, but God didn't plan on them staying for 40 years. The reason they stayed for 40 years was because of their lack of faith and their lack of obedience. Now you say, how long am I going to stay in the wilderness? Well, that depends on you. You may be there because God led you there. He let it come in, but Jesus was there for 40 days. Maybe Egypt was Israel was supposed to be there for 40 days, but they stayed for 40 years because, again, of their lack of obedience. You look at our nation today and you say, when's all this going to end? Well, I don't know. I mean, when are we going to be faithful and obedient again? I mean, you know, people say, you know, look at what's happened in the last 3 years. The wheels have come off. No, the wheels have been coming off for 40, 50 years. We've been aborting babies for 50 years left and right. I mean, we had a drug problem in the 80s. Nancy Reagan was telling everybody just say no. We've had massive drug issues for 40 years in our nation. The TVs have had so much filth on them. You haven't been able to watch TV since I was a kid. I mean, when I was growing up, there was MTV, Spring Break, and Jerry Springer, and Mari Povich doing his paternity. I mean, we've been doing that stuff for 40 years. I mean, church attendance has declined. In 2000, church attendance, 40 to 45% of Americans attended church. That was 20 years ago. 20 years later, 15 to 20%. Church attendance has declined over 50% in just 20 years. We've been having a mess for a long time. And if you haven't seen the mess, it's just because you don't have spiritual discernment. It's been a mess for a long time. Now the plagues have started. It's been coming on for a long time. In fact, Amos chapter 4:10 says this. He said, I sent out among you a plague after the manner of Egypt. Your young men I killed with a sword, along with your captive horses. I made the stench of your camps come up into your nostrils, yet you have not returned to me. And that's again in a passage where God is saying, I did this, I did that, I did that. It kept getting worse, and you did not return to me. And so I don't know when America gets better, because I'm sort of pessimistic that we're going to return anytime soon. But in your life, it can get better if you'll return. If you'll be obedient, if you'll be faithful, you can shorten the amount of time you spend in your own wilderness. You say, well, is 2022 going to be better than 2021? I don't know. Are you drinking less? You say, is it going to be better? I don't know. Are you still cussing? Is it going to be better? I don't know. I don't know. Are you still sleeping with people you're not married to? He said, well, I don't know. I mean, it's such a bad year, but I believe I'll come out. I don't know. Are your Bible still dusty? Your prayer life still stink? I don't know. Is it going to get better? I mean, have you returned to the Lord yet? Have you started to put faith in God? Are you going to be obedient to where He leads you? I don't know how long your wilderness will last. And so here's Joshua again. And he's getting out of the wilderness because he, first of all, wasn't a part of any of that. He had been obedient and faithful all along. I mean, listen, there's that place in remember Mark chapter, there's a whole scenario in Mark. Mark chapter 4. Disciples end up on the boat, and the storm comes up, and they all yelling like they're all about to die. And Jesus says, where was your faith? That was chapter 4. They flunked a test. Mark chapter 6. Jesus tries to help them. You know, feeds 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And then there's 12 baskets left over. So he puts them back on the boat and they're all hugging a basket, you know, of bread. It's like, they'll remember what I can do. And so he says, you go and then I'm going to walk. And then he comes walking on the water and man, they lose it. It's a ghost. We're all going to die. And Jesus looks at him and says, I'm just amazed you guys are holding the basket. You know about my provision. Man, I gave you a big basket of bread not to sink in. And so they flunked the test again. Matthew chapter 8. 4,000 are fed, turning loaves and fishes into food. And then they get across the water finally without freaking out. How long is your Groundhog Day going to last? I don't know. How long are you going to be rebellious to the Lord? How long are you going to not have faith in what He can do? How long are you going to be disobedient when He tells you what He wants from you? Oftentimes, again, He leads us into dry places, but the length of time we spend in the dry place depends on whether we learn the lesson we were meant to learn. So here's Joshua. You want to get into the promised land. You want to get into 22, learn the lessons of 2021. That's the first point, by the way. And that's probably only for one person here. And don't you feel bad that you made everybody else hear that because you're not living right. Now, here's the second and third points. I'm going to put them together. Three times, again, he says, now, Joshua, you're out of the wilderness. And that wasn't your fault anyway. Joshua, you were always faithful. You were always obedient. You always did what I wanted you to do. So, this is all I'm telling you to do, Joshua. Be strong and courageous. There's more in that, but let me just focus on that in my remaining time. He says, Joshua, you've been obedient. You've been faithful. You've been righteous. When you look at your future, Joshua, just be strong and courageous, and I'll go with you. Just be strong and courageous. Strong means to harden yourself. Courageous literally means to brace yourself. He said, just be tough. Suck in that gut. Brace yourself, and I'll go with you. I'll go with you. And that's a word for some of you today. Many of you have been obedient. You've been faithful. You love the Lord. You care about His Word. You haven't had to return to Him because you never left Him. I want to tell you today, that's your word. When you face your future, be strong and courageous. And He'll go with you. He'll be with you. He'll stand with you. He'll go beside you. Here He is. And He says to Joshua, listen, Joshua, you got new challenges ahead, but just be strong and courageous. I'm going to go with you. You got new enemies because you're about to invade land and you hadn't had many enemies, but now that you start invading people, you're going to get some enemies. But that's okay. In your future, there'll be more enemies, but be strong and courageous. I'm going to be with you. And no man, verse 5 says, will be able to stand against you to defeat you in battle as long as you live. Just go with it. You've been what you should be. Now just be tough, Joshua. Just be tough. Go after it, Joshua. I'm trying to talk somebody into just going after God's promises for you. Just go after it. Just get after it. If God has told you that He's going to do something in your life, go after it. Be strong, courageous. If there's stuff you need to turn from them, but then face your future with strength and courage, believing that the one who said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, hasn't lied to you. Trying to talk somebody into just going forward. Remember the guy who, he was a rich guy, probably a Bond villain. But anyway, he had all these guys around his pool, and he'd promised $1 million and the hand of his beautiful daughter in marriage to anybody who could swim through a swimming pool, but he had filled it full of alligators. So all these guys are gathered around. He said, anybody who wants to be immensely wealthy and bid to be married to my lovely daughter. If you'll swim through the pool of alligators, you can have everything you ever wanted. And he turned around and then he heard a splash. He looked back and there was this guy swimming with great ferocity. I mean, he was kicking. He was on top of the water. They were snapping at him. He was getting nipped. And he came out and the guy ran over and said, "Oh man, what kind of courage is that? I mean, I can't believe it. So you want the money and my daughter that much?" And he said, "No, I don't even want that. I just want to know who pushed me in." I'm trying to push you into 2022. Listen to me. It's a very simple word. In Jesus' name, face your future with strength and courage. Face it with strength and courage. Stand with me.